Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Happy New Year, everybody! Happy New Year! I don't know about you, but I am feeling great.
Hillary Clinton on the stump on New Year's Day.
You know, after 7 long years of George Bush and Dick Cheney, starting Thursday night, we are taking our country back, and you all are going to lead the way.
Clinton taking aim at Bush and Cheney, interestingly, rather than Obama and Edwards, at least for the moment. So happy New Year and happy election year to you. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with the debut right now. Of our primary election series, Are You the One? Are You the One, Barack Obama?
Our retirement system is in tatters, leaving seniors insecure. In this defining moment, we cannot afford to wait. We can't wait to provide health care to people who need it. We cannot wait to provide good jobs and good wages and a pension you can count on. We cannot wait to fix our schools. We cannot wait to halt global warming. We cannot wait to bring an end to this war in Iraq. We cannot wait.
Obama, like Clinton, campaigning in Iowa, of course. We will hear some of the other candidates as we go along this morning. But let me tell you what this series, Are You the One, is going to be. It'll be a lot of information and a lot of peer-to-peer democracy. What does that mean? Well, from now through Super Duper Tuesday on February 5th, we are creating a space here where we can all help each other figure out who to vote for in our Democratic and Republican primaries. Super Duper Tuesday, the 5th of February. Got that media nickname, if you don't know, because more states will hold primaries that day than on any day in U.S. history. About 22, I believe the number is, including New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. So all three states in our prime listening area, along with about those 20 other states. So in this series, we will present lots of information about the candidates and the issues, and we'll be very open source. That's the peer-to-peer part. We'll facilitate a lot of peer-to-peer democracy. Your suggestions of topics and questions and guests, your conversations on the phone and on our website, your ideas of what to follow up on when something is unresolved in a conversation on the air, your suggestions for videos and reading material so that it's not just the pundits or the experts or me mediating the election for you or to you or at you. We know that many, many of you are still undecided as of today. Even in Iowa, as we'll hear a little more about in a minute, there are a lot of undecideds, and they vote tomorrow. So later this hour, we will ask what you still feel you need to know about the candidates to help you decide, because our goal is to create this special place here on WNYC and WNYC.org over the next month, not just election coverage in the traditional sense, certainly not infotainment, but an act of community building, a month-long act of media democracy. Maybe we'll get to know as much about each other as about the candidates, each other being all of you as likely voters in your Democratic or Republican primaries, black, white, gray, rich, poor, whoever you are in your real lives as citizens. You'll have lots of time to speak, to argue, to persuade, and to deliberate together, and that'll help us facilitate democracy as our mission all the way to Super Duper Tuesday and beyond. But let's begin in Iowa, where the first votes will be cast tomorrow. Joining us now are WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein, who is out in Iowa, and Kathy Obradovich, the political editor for the Des Moines Register. Andrea, how you doing out there?
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And we'll be hearing a lot from you over the next month, that's for sure. And Kathy Obradovich from the Des Moines Register, thanks so much for coming on WNYC today. Hello from New York.
Nice to be here, Brian.
And Kathy, your final Des Moines Register poll before the caucus is making a lot of national news because it came out kind of different from the other polls. And your people say you have a different methodology than most Iowa caucus polls. You want to tell us what you did and how it came out?
Well, we don't. Our Iowa caucus poll is has been a very tried and true methodology over the years, but it's a very simple methodology. We call registered voters in Iowa and ask them if they're going to caucus. And if they say that they are very likely to caucus, then we ask them who they are for. We don't worry about their party affiliation until the end, and we do ask them, you know, do they consider themselves a Republican, Democrat, or independent? What we're finding that's unusual about this poll is that there's a very large number of people who consider themselves to be independent voters who are planning to caucus tomorrow night. And that's a situation that benefits Barack Obama more than any other candidate.
When you say independent,
it's a little bit different from what we're seeing in other polls.
Kathy, unlike New York, for example, when you say independents are planning to caucus, people who are registered independent or maybe anybody in Iowa may choose either party's caucus to attend?
That's right. You have to be a registered voter in Iowa to participate in a caucus, but you can register to vote on caucus night, and you can change your party affiliation on caucus night. So if you're currently registered as a Democrat and you want to go to the Republican caucus, you will change your party affiliation to be a Republican. So there are no Democrats who are participating in the Republican caucus, but you may have been a Democrat 5 minutes before it starts.
Wow. And you said you can register to vote on caucus night?
Yes, you can.
So this is really, I mean, that's good for democracy. And Andrea Bernstein, it also seems to me that that kind of system would benefit whoever's got the most juice at the moment.
Yes, it would benefit whoever has the most juice. But it also, you know, there's a lot that has to do with organization, getting people out on a cold night. In some ways, it is incredibly democratic. If you are going to turn 18 by November's election day, you can vote tomorrow night, so you could actually vote if you're 17 by showing up at the caucus. However, you still do have to show up at this event, this public event, so it isn't quite like it is in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, where you have the whole day to go out and vote. So there is a sort of something that is more democratic and less
right.
democratic about it.
And Kathy, I wanted to ask you about this. I've been thinking about this for a while, and then the New York Times coincidentally had a big front page story on this. So New Yorkers are waking up today and reading their local paper, the New York City Times, scratching their heads over your system if they didn't know about it before, because there are so many people that the Iowa caucuses exclude, since you have to go in person and then stay there for 2 hours. So night shift workers, the infirm, servicemen and women overseas. The article begins with frustrated servicemen in Afghanistan. Anyone who values the privacy of a secret ballot because you have to stand and be counted. So it seems to violate so many tenets of what we consider the equality of voting rights at the heart of our democracy.
Well, those are tenets of the equality of voting rights as they relate to elections. But the big misunderstanding about a caucus is that it is not a primary. It is not an election. It is a Democratic Party and Republican Party function. It's always been geared toward party activists. And so the fact that you have to show up at a meeting, that you have to, in some cases, publicly declare your candidacy, is part of the process of a caucus that you don't see in primaries. Why has Iowa kept its caucus system? It's, for all these years, it's a very pragmatic reason. It's the only way that they get to be first in the nation. If Iowa had a primary like New Hampshire, it would not be able to keep at the front of the line. And so that's exactly why they've held on to the process.
You mean because it becomes such a personal thing where the candidates have to come in and make all these personal appearances and shake a lot of hands and kiss a lot of babies?
Well, that's the beauty of the system as it is. It's about grassroots politics, and it still is, even in this day and age where it's all about the Internet and cable TV and advertising. Iowa voters do expect candidates to come in and ask for their votes personally, and that's why you see national frontrunners like Rudy Giuliani not doing well in Iowa.
And listeners, if anybody has a question or a comment about the Iowa caucuses or either of the particular races in Iowa tomorrow night, give us a call right now, 212-433-WNYC. For the moment, just on the Iowa caucuses, 212-433-WNYC. 833-9692, the methodology of the Iowa caucuses, or anything about these races. For Kathy Obradovich, political editor for the Des Moines Register, and WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein, who is in Iowa today as well. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And turnout is so low, all this time and money and media focus, and it's for about like 5% of the potential electorate, Kathy?
Well, it's probably going to be more like 12% this year, but it's a big turnout year for the caucuses. But you're right, it's not comparable to a primary. And again, it's kind of a fallacy to try and compare the caucus process to a
right.
primary election.
So, Andrea, why, if it's all for such a narrow band of voters, is Iowa seen as such a bellwether for America by the media, or is it just way overhyped?
Well, I think that there's a number of things operating here. I mean, I think that, you know, for all of us, you know, this is relatively easy to cover. We get to come out here. The candidates are holding town hall meetings. They've been holding town hall meetings for months. People ask them lots of questions. We get to talk to voters. It's a very sort of, there's a lot of back and forth discussion going on. What's going to happen starting January 9th, the day after the New Hampshire primary, is we're going to start seeing a lot of airport press conferences, a lot of national swings, and there's much less of a sense of an election on the ground. So I think one of the things is that, you know, it's easy for us to come and see the candidates make their pitch. I mean, the other thing I do have to say is, well, there are obviously issues that are specific to Iowa, just as there are issues specific to New York, New Jersey, Ohio, pick your state. There are issues right now that Democrats and Republicans are concerned with nationwide. I mean, I've heard Democrats applauding Barack Obama's line about getting rid of habeas corpus in Washington Square Park, and I've heard it in Olean, Iowa. So, I mean, I've heard, you know, Hillary Clinton has a line about the era of cowboy diplomacy is over. Mitt Romney talking about immigration. You know, so there is a way in which there's an actual interaction happening here. So, yes, the number of voters are small compared to, I think, you know, Gail Collins, the New York Times columnist, said the election is going to be determined by 35,000 corn farmers, and there are 35,000 people living on my block. But on the other hand, there is a sort of way in which you are really getting to the sort of essence of yeah. trying to convince voters in a personal way here. And I think that is one of the reasons why candidates keep going back, and that if the candidates keep going back, we have to keep following them.
And Dennis Kucinich yesterday asked his caucusers to choose Obama second. Now, because of the rules of the way the Democrats caucus, and we've been talking about this here for weeks, so we're not going to go into the rules in a minute way, but the important thing to know is that in the first round of caucusing, any caucuser whose candidate doesn't get at least 15% then gets to vote again and choose a second choice. So in a close race, if it's a close race between presumably Obama, Edwards, and Clinton, a few delegates or a few votes from caucus goers, from Biden, from Dodd, from Kucinich, from Richardson, could really make the difference. And Dennis Kucinich yesterday became the first candidate to explicitly ask his caucusers publicly to choose a candidate second, and that is Obama. But Andrea, 4 years ago, Kucinich told his backers to choose Edwards second. Do you know why he changed?
I don't. I mean, I'm going to make the educated guess that it's because he sees Obama this year as more of the candidate of change. You know, I'm not exactly sure.
Kathy, anything on that?
Kucinich said that Obama was closer to his position on the war, that he'd been against the war in Iraq from the beginning and felt that he was closer to him on that issue. But I have to say it's at best a symbolic gesture from Dennis Kucinich. He's got very, very little support in Iowa. He has not been campaigning here.
Lynn in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. My concern has to do with this, the way in which registering on the day or even prior to that in a party different than the one actually the person supports means that those folks might be moving into the other camp in order to
sabotage somebody. Does that ever actually happen, Kathy? I hear that theory every election year.
Well, because this year both parties are wide open races and in play, there's not going to be as much of an incentive for people to switch sides just to, sort of mess around or try to influence the other party. However, having said that, we have heard from a number of people on the Republican side who say, look, I'm not that excited about any of the choices in my party. I'm more interested in what's happening on the Democratic side, and party rules would allow them to participate. However, they don't get to be Republicans participating in the Democratic caucus. They have to register to vote as Democrats.
It's our primary election series, Are You the One? Here on WNYC, I'm Brian Lehrer. My first guests, WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein, who is in Iowa today. Of course, they vote tomorrow. And Kathy Obradovich, political director for the Des Moines Register. And here are the closing arguments of Romney and Huckabee as delivered yesterday, even though there are expected to be a lot more voters on the Democratic side this year, and a lot more people have been attending Democratic candidate rallies. But here's Romney at a campaign appearance, Huckabee speaking to CNN. Mitt Romney, are you the one?
I just ask you to consider the fact that I've spent my life not as a politician, but as someone who's lived in the private sector. I know how to create jobs. I know why jobs come and why they go. I know how to keep us strong. I've led things. I've run things. And I got great friends like you helping me.
They need to decide who best represents not only their values, but who also do they really trust to tell them the truth, not just about my record, but about the future of this country. And they'll have to ask themselves this question. Do I trust this guy to be honest with me about what he really believes and what he would really do? And is it consistent with what he has done and what he has said?
So, Andrea, the closing argument seemed to be, Romney, I'm a businessman, I'm a manager, I'm competent to take care of this country. Huckabee, don't trust that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably, I mean, that is the argument that Mitt Romney has been making. It has a lot of appeal among Republicans. I mean, I think that there's a sort of, you know, underlying unease with Republicans as there is with Democrats about the way this current administration has managed things. And Mitt Romney has nothing if not a well-managed campaign. And so I think that that is what he's appealing to. I mean, sort of, you know, Huckabee is a little bit all over the map, so much all over the map, that he had a press conference earlier this week in where he couldn't decide whether he wanted to attack Romney or not, showcasing an ad that attacked Romney, but then saying he wasn't going to air it. So, I mean, he's certainly running a freewheeling kind of campaign. He's actually flying to Burbank tonight to tape the Jay Leno show, which is a bit of a gamble leaving Iowa.
Yeah, Kathy, is that going to be seen as a snub or no big deal?
Well, I think that he would probably be better served traveling around Iowa asking voters for their votes in person. But I'm not going to say that it's a huge faux pas unless he says something really stupid on the Leno show.
Right. Or maybe Leno will say something really stupid because he doesn't have any writers working for him.
Yeah, Brian, I would also just say that, I mean, you know, Huckabee doesn't have much money to run a national campaign. And if Huckabee does well here tomorrow night, he is going to have to go around and do that. So he's trying to get all the free media attention he can, and, you know, showing up on the return of the Jay Leno show is probably a pretty good place to do that.
But, Kathy, one thing about Huckabee, he had a moment of high campaign weirdness on Monday. He called a news conference to say he decided not to air a negative ad that he had produced against Romney because he thought it was wrong to go negative. But then he played the commercial for the press, so we would disseminate it anyway. That was met by derision in the media. I know CNN was going very heavy with a cycle, including that ad and derision of that ad. Is this landing as a last-minute character red flag among Iowa voters, or not so much?
Well, I think that voters may see that as an example of the fact that Mike Huckabee's campaign still has some work to do as far as getting him ready to be a candidate on the national stage. He really has come up from having very little money. He doesn't have the kind of probably paid consultants and high-powered political advice that Mitt Romney has in his campaign. And that shows in decisions like the one he made yesterday with that press conference.
Let's get a couple of more callers in here. On the Iowa caucuses themselves, Larry in Manhattan wants to disagree with my statement that allowing last-minute registration is good for democracy. Larry?
Hi, yeah, I'm enjoying your discussion. But, yes, I think that shows, you know, not a consideration of the way our system is designed. You know, going back to the Constitution, I wish you and other commentators would keep thinking back to the way our system is designed in the Constitution. I think, you know, the idea is for two parties, basically, and for people to have strong beliefs and opinions about issues or loyalty to their party. And this last-minute registration thing, which sort of feels good, it's like, oh, wow, you know, we can do what we want. We have freedom. It seems a little adolescent, actually, and it means people can play games or they don't have to think through issues. They can just, you know, do something on a whim. And that's not the way. Just like criticism from your other commentators about, oh, well, people in overseas can't vote or the timing is bad. We have a federal system. Every state does their own thing to a certain extent.
Right, but we need to look at the particulars. And I take your point about being able to register in a party at the last minute. That at least is debatable. All I was saying was that I think it's the best for democracy for there to be the fewest barriers to voting at all. And if you can register to vote at all on the day of an election, to me that's good for democracy. But let me go to Michelle in Harlem. You're on WNYC. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Yeah, I had a question about the caucuses. It just seems like in recent years that it's, or at least this cycle, it seems like there's so much emphasis, particularly on the Democratic side, for a good showing in Iowa, when traditionally this has not been a place where Democrats have really touched foot on. As I think it was mentioned earlier, Clinton never really touched foot there. I don't think in 2000 there was any sincere Democratic mm-hmm. building or presence. And since the media market doesn't go anywhere, unlike New Hampshire, which does all of the New England states, so the media you pay during the first, you know, for
yeah,
New
you're
Hampshire.
Seen in Boston and stuff.
Right. So you can say, well, that it's part of the overall system. I just don't understand why now is such a big meaning and showing and doing the caucus. And there's such a new turnout that they've done. Obama's done incredible with just doing foot stuff and things like that.
So. Right. Good question. And we're just about out of time before we go to our next part of our primary election series. So, Andrew, can you answer Michelle's question real quick?
You know, it's one of those quirks. It was supposed to be much more mixed up this year, and yet all that resulted was that we started earlier and we still have Iowa and New Hampshire first. Just very quickly on the issue of voter registration, switching parties,
mm-hmm.
New York is so worried about candidates cross-influencing elections that it is already too late to switch your party registration and to vote in New York's primary on February 5th. You have to have done it in the fall. However, if you're not registered at all, I believe the deadline is coming up January 11th. I haven't seen widespread evidence in New York of voters crossing party lines trying to influence the other party's elections. I'm much more cynical. I think it's a way for party leaders to sort of keep a tighter control on who votes.
WNYC's Andrea Bernstein, political director of the station. I will be talking to you tomorrow night when we do our live Iowa caucuses coverage. This will be in conjunction with Iowa Public Radio. We'll be on in both states as well as New Hampshire, I believe. So it ought to be really interesting. Our coverage begins at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I'll be anchoring with WNYC's political director, Andrea Bernstein, there, and the reporting team from Iowa Public Radio. That's tomorrow night at 8 on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC and WNYC.org. Also, Kathy Obradovich, the political director for the Des Moines Register. You'll have an interesting couple of days out there. Thanks for taking some time with us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More on the campaign in a minute.
I go up.